A lot of words. We have heard a lot of words this morning. We began with words that cheered Jesus as he entered Jerusalem. We then heard the same voices jeer him and scream for his death. When we hear all these words of Palm Sunday, the Sunday of the Passion, words which focus on Jesus' arrest, abandonment, trial, torture, and crucifixion, we realize these words still have an ability to inspire outwardly directed violence. So we must take the time to hear how these same words might transform our own violent tendencies. Now, supposedly, the people who put Jesus to death 2,000 years ago, whether they did so actively or passively, those people, and you hear how I just said those people, are described by some theologians as having been the best society had to offer. The ever pious theologians, the wisest politicians, the most capable soldiers. Oh, and those economists, they were savvy. The best showed us their worst, the story goes. Well, the curtain did not close on that drama when Jesus breathed his last. Too many followers of Jesus over the millennia have allowed these words we hear today, they've allowed these words to radicalize them. They've set off on crusades to punish those who, in their eyes, opposed and killed their Lord and Savior. Humanity has a long tradition of drawing partisan lines, denigrating, marginalizing, committing violence against those people who do not see the world the way we do. Christianity has a shameful past, and in some corners, a shameful present when it comes to painting with a broad brush and scapegoating one group of people for the death of Jesus. So let's read these words with different eyes. When we immerse ourselves in the Palm Sunday story, we can ask better, more introspective questions like, why are we hesitant to welcome into our everyday lives the God who comes to us as we are, in an ordinary way, in the person of Jesus of Nazareth, whose humanity is our humanity? Why are we so resistant to the idea that God desires to be with us in every aspect of our lives on this earth, from the mundane to the messy, and even to the macabre? We are hesitant and resistant, both you and I, when it comes to allowing God to access those dark places in our souls that we are afraid God might see. So we prefer to keep God out there at a safe distance. Notice at the end of that gospel passage how people supposedly closest to Jesus were standing at a distance from the cross. Let's not get close to that. It's too bloody. It's too messy. But you know what? When we do that, when we put up these walls, these barriers, we risk misappropriating the robust Palm Sunday rhetoric, thinking that it's only others in a land far away, in a time long ago, only those people are capable of cheering Jesus and then jeering him. Well, the big picture approach to the story tells us otherwise. Now, the religiously sanctioned, state-ordered, capital, public execution of Jesus confronts us with the absurdity of the human condition. God comes to us as one of us in love. We gladly accept God's love when everything in our life is going well. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. But when God in human flesh turns out to be someone other than who we want God to be, when Jesus comes close and shows us something about ourselves we preferred not to see, that off-limits place within us, which God can heal, transform, and liberate, what do? We lose ourselves in the bloodthirsty chorus. Crucify him. Kill him. Get him out of our presence. Well, even though we get caught up in the mob mentality from time to time, there is good news. There are comforting words spoken on Palm Sunday, provided that we have the ears to hear them. Words which give us the chance to rethink our knee-jerk reactions. When God communicates love and we react with hate speech, God then speaks words which disarm us. See, God responds to our rejection of God's love with more love. When humanity does our worst, Jesus the Son prays the following words to God the Father on our behalf. Forgive them. Forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. We don't know what we're doing all the time. When we commit violence against God and against God's humanity out of ignorance, because we don't always recognize how and through whom God expresses love for us, when we commit violence against God, God refuses to commit violence against us. People like to blame God for the cross. Guess what? It was humanity who was to blame for the cross. God will always do nothing but love us. This is the good news. This is the gospel of Jesus Christ. And if we dare to gather as a community in the name of Jesus, the Son of God, imperfect though we are, instead of responding to God's love with hate, instead of responding to human hate with even more hate, instead of perpetuating a cycle of violence in our day, which we are so very good at, how might we become more of who God intends us to be by taking the radical, countercultural step of loving, forgiving, and loving some more all whom God sends our way? In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.